And joining me right now here on the phone line to go over the latest on NFL free agency, which is going wild here in the last 48 hours. He's my good friend, Alan Slaughter-Zinsky with Brevard Sports Network. Alan, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark. How about yourself?
Hey, I'm okay. I just heard your Ravens. Did they just go get Derrick Henry? Is this real?
That is correct. The Ravens went and signed Derrick Henry to a two-year, $16 million contract, which could be worth as much as $20 million for 2 years, with $9 million guaranteed. That's a heck of a deal for the Ravens to get Derrick Henry. And, listen, my only thing would be, let's hope Todd Monken remembers he's in the backfield in January.
Do you love this move for the Baltimore Ravens?
Yeah, I think it's a phenomenal move for the Ravens. I think the one thing that the Ravens have had issues with in their backfield is, their running backs have been banged up. I mean, last year, J.K. Dobbins went down early. He was supposed to be the next franchise running back for Baltimore, and he goes down, and, you get Gus Edwards and those guys, And listen, I mean, the Ravens were the number one rushing football team in the league last year. Quite honestly, Mark, when you think about NFL running backs in the National Football League, Derrick Henry is still at the top of that list. And so to be able to go out and get a guy like a Derrick Henry, even though, he was used like a B&O locomotive in Tennessee for five straight years, I think it's a win-win for the Ravens, especially with the type of system that they run. And I think the other thing that a lot of people don't know about Derrick Henry is he is an excellent, excellent pass catcher out of the backfield.
All right, here's how I look at it. Who cares about the stats? Let's get to the Super Bowl if I'm the Ravens. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I'm still pissed, Mark. I was just texting with a buddy of mine up there in Baltimore, and I said, the one thing I just can't get past is we got to go play 17 more. What does it mean to go play 17 more to sit back and watch this? Because nothing this franchise is going to do moving forward, at least in the foreseeable future, which would be next season, means anything until they get to the Super Bowl. I look back on the season that team had, and I still tried to justify in my mind that this wasn't the best regular season Baltimore Raven team I've ever seen. And I can't, because it was. This was better than the 2000 team that won the Super Bowl. This was far better than the team that won the 2012-2013 Super Bowl. I mean, this was the best football team in the history of this franchise, and they choked. They absolutely choked. From the quarterback to the play caller, from even on defense, where they forced the Ravens forced the Kansas City Chiefs to no points in the second half, punt on every possession, held them to 17 points. I mean, the last team to win an AFC championship game scoring 17 points or less were the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. So as a Ravens fan, Mark, you're still trying to pull all of this together. Even 3 months later, you're still trying to pull all of this together in your own head. And it's hard to come to that realization. And while I'm looking forward to next season, a lot can go wrong in 17 weeks, my friend.
All right, here's his stats, and I love playing this game with you. So he has 9,502 rushing yards in his career, 90 rushing touchdowns. He's 30 years old. If he retired right now, would he go to the Hall of Fame in your eyes?
Yes.
No hesitation. You're going yes.
No, I don't know that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he is a Hall of Fame running back. I mean, you look at, against the Ravens a couple of years ago in the playoffs. I mean, the stiff arms, the highlights, yeah, Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer. And here's what makes Derrick Henry a Hall of Famer. Those yards are accumulated in an era of the NFL when running the football wasn't the norm. It's not like back in the 80s and 90s when ball carriers got 34 carries a game. No, Derrick Henry did this in the clear-cut, biggest passing era in the history of this league, and that's what makes Derrick Henry a Hall of Famer.
All right. He's there. Let's go around the horn to some of these crazy moves. What was your thought yesterday when you saw Kirk Cousins got $100 million guaranteed by Atlanta?
Smartest quarterback in the history of the National Football League, Mark. Smartest quarterback. You and I talked about this 3 years ago, Mark, when he signed with the Vikings. You remember this? A conversation we had 3 years ago about how smart Kirk Cousins was because he just kept taking franchise deals, right? And I don't know what Kirk Cousins' career earnings are, but, I'd love to see it. I really would love to see what Kirk Cousins' career earnings are because you're talking about a guy that's probably made as much – he's probably made more money playing quarterback than Tom Brady.
All right, let me bring it up for you. Okay, so 2012 standard four-year rookie deal. 16, he got $19.9 million guaranteed. 17, $23.9 million guaranteed. 2018, got the $84 million guaranteed. 2020, $66 million guaranteed. 22, $35 million guaranteed. $100 million guaranteed yesterday. Over $400 million, Alan.
You tell me. And is Kirk Cousins a Hall of Famer?
No.
Correct.
No, he's
smartest
not.
Smartest quarterback in the history of the NFL, Mark.
Do you think this was a smart move by Atlanta?
Yes, I do. Listen, I think the thing that – I mean, why not, right? I mean, you know what you're going to get. Now, I think the one caveat here is the Achilles, obviously. But – you know, Kirk Cousins is one of those guys, you know, I know you watch the quarterback thing on Netflix. Don't you feel like you know the guy, like you could just call him up and talk to him and have a conversation with him? I mean, that's the feeling I got from the Netflix series, right?
There's times with him, you watch him play. I mean, this guy puts up fantasy stats. I mean, there are times you're like, wow, this guy's awesome. There are other times where you're like, what the hell are you thinking? Like, he still has these mistakes. He's 1-3 in the playoffs. If you're Atlanta, and I don't know if you saw this, Mooney from the Bears, they signed him as well as wide receiver, gave him over $30 million. Falcons are in, buddy. They're in.
I think the Falcons, and listen, Mark, this is a good move for Kirk Cousins and the Falcons because you're going to a division. You know, if you had to put your chips all in on if Baker Mayfield would repeat the year he had last season, would you do that?
No, I would not. No.
I would not either, Mark. And so look at the rest of this division. The Carolina Panthers are the absolute worst dumpster fire in the National Football League. Here they go again. They should have got, Mark, they could have gotten two number one draft picks for Burns, and they get a fifth. That's a horrible franchise. That's in the NFC South. You got the New Orleans Saints, Mark. So for me, does Kirk Cousins step in and become the best quarterback in the NFC South right now?
The fact that he's in a dome, you could make a case where that's what he's used to playing in over the last couple of years. I agree with you. The problem is the injury he's coming off of. He's 35, he'll be 36 this fall. It's going to take them a minute to click. They're not going to show up and be like the 99 Rams, but I think it's exciting if you're an Atlanta fan.
And I think if you're Atlanta, the goal here, look, you'll never hear an NFL team say this. Obviously every one of them want to get to the Super Bowl, but if you're the Falcons here, your goal is just to get to the playoffs.
Oh.
You just want to get into the playoffs.
Hey, the Bucs just made it to the playoffs. Beat Philadelphia, and they should have beaten Detroit in round two. Do you like $30 million a season for Baker Mayfield, though, with the Bucs?
Yeah, Mark. I mean, can you find me a starting quarterback in the NFL at that price for what Mayfield did last year?
You can't, because Kirk Cousins is going to make over $40 million. You're absolutely right.
So, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, for a guy that, 2 weeks ago, what did he say? He wasn't going to take it. He wasn't going to give the Bucs any type of a hometown discount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he did.
Yes. And I think I want your thoughts. We're here with Alan Sutterzinski. I think Mike Evans coming back helped it as well. If Mike Evans walks and goes to, like, Kansas City, then I would not like the Baker Mayfield deal. I wouldn't, but getting them both back, I like it now.
Dad, I'm going to tell you something. And I think, you know, I just got finished listening to the book called A Season in the Sun. And it's a book I highly recommend. And it's about how Jason Light and the Atlanta Falcons, how Jason Light and Bruce Arians and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed Tom Brady, and it goes through that entire season of behind the scenes. It takes you in depth about how that entire Super Bowl season occurred. And it really opened my eyes to just how good of a general manager Jason Light is, Mark, because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I didn't think the Bucs were going to sign Mike Evans or Baker Mayfield. And not only do they get them both, Mark, but they get them at a pretty good price. And I think that's a testament to what Jason's been able to do over there. And it's a reason why, and I don't think he's ever going to get the credit he truly deserves, but it's a reason why that franchise, what, they just win their fourth straight division title. And so that's a big reason why that's going on over there. Tampa Bay Buccaneers can thank their general manager because he's done some really nice wheeling and dealing. You go back to that Super Bowl season and you stop and think about some of the players he brought in, the Ndamukong Suhs, et cetera, et cetera. And, yeah, I mean, the guy has just been phenomenal for that franchise.
I will back up your comment because I thought after they lost Brady 2 years ago, I thought they were just going to blow it up and maybe they'd have a top five pick in this draft. But they kept it going. They really did.
Yeah.
And you can make a case, and this will be up to Vegas to decide who's the favorite in that division. Is it Tampa? Is it Atlanta? I mean, we're going to find out. All right, we go around the NFL here with Alan Slaughter-Zinsky. What do you think of Russell Wilson to the Steelers then?
Love it. Love it. What do the Steelers have to lose here?
Nothing.
You know, I mean, they play in a division where you punch each other in the mouth. I mean, a lot of people don't know this, but you know, the Ravens last year, who, as I just told you, was the best team in this franchise's history. The only team they beat twice in the division all year was Cincinnati. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Steelers. Both, or they went 1-1 to the Browns, 0-2 to the Steelers last year. That division is the new black and blue division or the black and blue division in the National Football League. Listen, you look at Russell Wilson. He was top 10 in quarterback rating last year in the NFL. You look at the touchdown passes that Kenny Pickett and
Mason Rudolph
out of Oklahoma State threw last year. Those two combined had 23 passing touchdowns. Russell Wilson had that or more for the Broncos. Russell Wilson, the biggest thing with Russell Wilson, Mark, is the type of teammate that he is. Go back and look at Russell's season last year. It wasn't horrific. I think this is a great signing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Do I think Russell Wilson's going to take Pittsburgh to the Super Bowl? I don't think so, but you never know. That's one of the best defenses in the NFL. They got one of the best wide receiving corps in the National Football League, Mark. If Russell Wilson can continue to throw the football with the accuracy that he's demonstrated at times throughout his career, who knows? Why couldn't it be the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think this is a terrific move for Pittsburgh. And look at the price they got him for, Mark.
$1 million. It's wild.
Right.
It is. What do the Broncos do? Do they just tank the whole year? What do they do?
No, they're going to draft a quarterback, and they're going to wheel and deal. They'll sign a veteran quarterback. It wouldn't shock me to see Joe Flacco out in Denver next year.
I don't blame you.
Taking a couple of starts. You know, you draft a young quarterback. You have, you know, Joe's at that point. You know, Jameis Winston just signed with the Browns, so Joe's not going back to Cleveland as the backup. So why not bring a guy like a veteran in, like a Joe Flacco, right, to work with a young quarterback you've drafted? Can you trade up to get a Drake May, a guy like that? But listen, we all know Sean Payton. We know what he can do with quarterbacks. The Russell Wilson experiment was a failure. but that wasn't his quarterback. Let's let Sean Payton bring his quarterback in. Listen, I like Sean Payton. I like his offensive mind. I think the Broncos are going to be just fine.
All right, let's go to the big board here, then on Sutterzinski. So you're saying Denver needs a quarterback? Minnesota needs a quarterback. I know they signed Sam Darnold for $10 million, but just stop it. I think they're in play. Ooh, all right. Bears are in play. New England. You have Washington. How many quarterbacks are going to be drafted in this first round now?
Well, let's take a look. All right. Let's look at what we got here. Okay, so we obviously know and listen, I think you go Caleb Williams, one to the Bears, Jaden Daniels, two to the Commanders. So there's two. Drake May to the Patriots, that's three. I think the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan. I don't see why, you know, I like McCarthy. I do. Then I don't think you see another quarterback drafted for quite some time, because I think some of these tackles and wide receivers and cornerbacks start coming off the screen. So my guess here, Mark, would be four quarterbacks in the top seven, eight picks.
Yes. Look, I told you this last week. The top 10 in the first round, it might be all offensive weapons. It might be quarterback, wide receiver, lineman. It might be all offense. I could see, okay, like a Bo Nix, Oregon. I know he played for 30 teams in college. I think Bo Nix, maybe second or third round pick. I think Penix Jr. out of Washington. I know he's a big risk, but I think he'll go second or third round as well. It's going to be wild, dude.
You could see a guy like a Penix. You could see a team do something similar to what the Ravens did, because if you get through round, if you get towards the end of round one, then a guy like a Michael Penix Jr. Becomes the most talked about guy on day two, right?
Yeah.
You could possibly see, Mark, some of these teams at the bottom of the draft. Obviously not the Kansas City Chiefs, right? Who's to say a team like the 49ers, Mark, wouldn't take a flyer on a guy like a Michael Penix Jr.?
I agree with you. I do. All right. This is a tough question for me. Over the last 48 hours or so, is the big loser Justin Fields in all of this?
Not yet. Let's get to the draft and let's see what happens. Because I still, listen, who's to say that one of these teams that we just mentioned, we still don't know, Mark, how much Caleb Williams is truly valued, right? We don't know that because of all of this drama with Chicago. Will they or won't they? Will they or won't they? And, you know, you heard the scuttlebutt coming out of the NFL Combine about Williams and his interviews and things like this. And I mean, nothing to upset the apple cart. So everything was fine there. But it's awfully quiet in terms of there's got to be a team somewhere in this top 10 that needs a quarterback, Mark, that values Caleb Williams. How much do they value him? Are they willing to trade up to try to get him? Will the Bears take it? Or will the Bears, you know, maybe the Vikings? I mean, could you see a scenario where, you know, the Vikings aren't completely sold on the Michigan quarterback, and maybe they take a, you know, maybe they try to trade within the division? Who knows, Mark? But I don't think he's a loser yet, Mark. I don't. I think all along, whatever was going to happen with Justin Fields wasn't going to happen until around the NFL draft. So I would disagree slightly with those that say he's a loser at this point.
It's going to be interesting to find out what happens moving forward. Mac Jones.
Maybe Sean Payton likes him.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I agree. Everything is in play. I don't think you go to Minnesota. I think you get him out of the division. You can't have him like do great and kill the Bears.
I agree.
You can't. It's going to be fascinating to see. I think it's Caleb Williams at number one. I think that's a lock. And I think he starts day one. But, like, look, my problem is, so Mac Jones, sixth round pick to the Jaguars. Is Mac Jones a bust then for New England?
Yes. Yeah, because, listen, you know, yes.
Yes.
I mean, there's no other way to say that other than, yes, he's a bust. He had a decent first season. There was hopes for a second season. But is it all Mac Jones' fault? No. Bill Belichick busted Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones could have been far better than he was. You turned the offense over to freaking Matt Patricia, Mark. Mm. I mean, are you kidding me? Matt Patricia is not an offensive coordinator, right? So, yes, in the sense of a bust, he's a bust. I am happy, though, that they traded him to Jacksonville. He's home. He's back in Florida. He's up to, you know, he went to Bowles High School. In fact, Coco beat him in the state championship game in 2016. He's back home in Jacksonville. And who knows, Mark, maybe, you know, this kid, he's not a bad quarterback. He can be a career backup and come in and fill in nicely. So we'll see what happens. You know, Trevor Lawrence got banged up a couple times last year. They didn't really have anything to turn to. You know, maybe Mac Jones could be that guy.
Before I let you go, we're here at the Alan Sutterzinski Brevard Sports Network. All right, high school, what are you covering this week?
Oh, lots of baseball, softball, lacrosse, of course. We did a really interesting interview, Mark, Sunday, which we ran last night, with Jazzy Frantic, the pitcher for the Melbourne Bulldogs softball team. And she's headed to Florida State. She is by far the best I've ever seen throw a softball. Right now, in terms of baseball in the area, the Rockledge Raiders are 9-0, and they have some outstanding pitching. Clayton Cooksey, you know, getting the job done over there. So we've got a lot of baseball, softball, and lacrosse in the weeks to come. And just check Brevard Sports Network's Facebook page daily to see what we'll be broadcasting that night.
Yeah, who did you have on last night? Was it a coach? Who was it?
Yeah, last night was Melbourne softball night, because Melbourne softball is 9-0 or 8-0. They're ranked number 14 in the country right now. And so I had Jazzy on last night, and I had Dan Adele, who is their manager for the last 3 years. Over the last 3 years, Mark, Melbourne softball is 55-7-1 over the last 3 years. And they got a good chance to win a second state championship. They won it in 2022, got beat by Vieira last year in the regional semis. But I think they have a really good chance to go win another 6A state championship this year.
I just want you to know, the fact you got Derrick Henry is just comical. It's like, it's so perfect and cliche, and then you actually pulled it off. And the other thing is, you only gave him like $16 million for 2 years.
Yeah. It's gave him nothing.
Nothing.
Gave him nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's the beauty of the cheap Ravens, Mark. This is what they have done. And, you know, people are going to say, oh, this is a homer remark coming from him. But, Mark, I mean, every year the Ravens are there. Even the year Lamar Jackson got hurt, right? I mean, we went to the playoffs without him, didn't we? We nearly beat the Bengals that year, the year they went to the Super Bowl. So, you know what? The front office for the Baltimore Ravens, and here's a little unknown fact about the Baltimore Ravens front office, and this will anger people even more. This entire front office, from Ozzie Newsome down to Eric DaCosta and the 20 for 20 guys, that's, you know, 20 for 40 guys, $20,000 a year, 40 hours a week. All those guys they got running around, scouts, all of it. It's all a tree derived from Bill Belichick, because all of these guys, Mark, were together in Cleveland. Ozzie Newsome, they were all there. And this entire front office comes off of the tree of Bill Belichick. In fact, when the Ravens hired John Harbaugh, Stephen Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, turned to Bill Belichick to ask him, was there a coach out there that nobody else knew about but would be a great NFL head coach? And I believe it or not, his suggestion was John Harbaugh.
His name is Alan Sutterzinski, Brevard Sports Network. My man, thanks for helping. Have a great day.
Appreciate you, Mark.